He didn't say it's not going to happen. But I mean, he's turned this down. Is this on? You turn that pulpit off? There you go. Thank you. Perfect. And then he says, but he didn't say it's not going to happen. He simply said it's not for you to know when it's going to happen. Verse 8, he says in verse 8, but, this is what you need to know, is what he's saying, but you shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now that's a missions verse. I'm not going to preach on that verse, but the Holy Ghost is given to you and me, amen, for the primary purpose of preaching the gospel, being witnesses, amen. Telling people, hey, I know Jesus because he lives in my heart. I'm saved, and I remember the day he saved me, and I'm able to tell you what Jesus has done for me. Really, that's all that witnessing is. I don't have to know every verse in the Bible to tell somebody, hey, let me tell you what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
Verse 9. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up.
Amen.
Think about that. And a cloud received him out of their sight.
Yes.
And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, this same Jesus, he says, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Yeah. Jesus is coming again, amen. He's coming again just like he left. He's coming back. Now, we don't know. Again, verse 7 tells us it's not for us to know the times of the seasons, when it's going to happen. But we know he's coming back. Let me just preach to you a little bit this morning on this thought. What happens when Jesus comes back?
Amen.
What's going to happen when Jesus comes back?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help this morning. I thank you for this time together with your people. Now, Lord, I pray you'd open up our hearts and our understandings. So we're simply unable without your Spirit to understand anything in this book, Lord. It is a very spiritual book. The things that you've given us here in this book are spiritually discerned. Help us, Father, to be filled with thy Spirit, to understand according to your word what's going to happen when our Savior comes back to this earth. Help us, Lord, I pray, to listen on purpose now. Fill me, use me, I pray, to be a blessing and a help. Grow us, I pray, in our understanding, and grow us closer to Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus is coming again. Jesus said, I'm going to heaven. Don't worry about when I'm coming back. I want you to go preach the gospel. And then those men just stood there gazing up, looking into heaven. And then the two angels came and said, listen, guys, you're not doing what Jesus told you to do. He didn't tell you to stand here and gaze up into heaven for the rest of this time. He said, I want you to understand something. Jesus is coming again. Now, I'm going to say this right off the bat. When he comes back, he's going to make sure that we are answer for what we did with verse 8, okay?
Amen.
And we're going to answer to Jesus when he comes back, what did we do with verse number 8? Because he says, I don't want you to worry about the kingdom and all of those things. I want you to be witnesses unto me. I want you to tell the world, the uttermost part of the earth, I want you to go. Remember, there's only 11 men standing there. I want you to, so this is a great verse for missions. This is a great verse for giving to missions, preaching the gospel, being involved in missions around the world. But when Jesus comes back, some of the things that aren't going to happen. First of all, time is not going to end.
That's right.
Okay? Time is not going to stop. Now, I'm talking about, you understand, the return of Jesus Christ is going to happen in two sections or two phases. The first one's going to be the rapture, and then the second one's going to be the revelation. Understand something, dearly beloved. I'm talking about the rapture this morning. When Jesus comes back in the rapture, what's going to happen? Time is not going to end. There is still going to be on this earth 1,007 years that we know of, amen, of time on this earth. Time is not just going to cease to exist. The earth is also not going to be destroyed. I'm talking about things that aren't going to happen that a lot of people try to tell us that are. The earth is not going to be destroyed. Time is not going to stop. Amen. Activity on this earth will not cease. What do you mean by it? I mean, people, after the rapture now, people are just going to go on with their life. I'm going to talk a little bit more about this in here in a minute, but there's going to be a great confusion for a while.
Yeah.
confusion for a while, but sooner or later, and probably sooner than later, things are just going to return to normal on this earth. Activity, businesses are going to still be open, amen. Another thing that's not going to happen, listen to me, religion is not going to stop.
Yeah, that's right.
Churches are still going to be open. Preachers are still going to be preaching, or whatever they do anymore. People are still going to be sitting in pews after Jesus comes back. I'm going to tell you, it's not going to stop. Business activity, social activity, religious activity, these things are not going to stop after Jesus comes back. Listen to me, havoc will not prevail. A lot of people think, you know, you've probably seen movies, and I know those movies, throw them in the dumpster. Will you stop watching those movies? Like things that what is that, Left Behind stuff. Now, listen, don't get me wrong, but that Left Behind stuff is not biblically sound. A person that hears the gospel and rejects Jesus Christ, if they're left behind, they're not going to be able to get saved. That's a lie. That's false doctrine. Amen. Okay, I'll say it for you. It's okay. But listen, havoc is not going to prevail. Like I said, for a temporary time, but then everything's just going to go back to normal. Hey, listen to me. After Jesus comes, God is not going to intervene. God is not going to intervene. God is not going to be involved in things that are going on in this world. A lot of people are confused about what's going to happen when Jesus comes back. Well, these are things that are not going to happen, okay? Jesus is going to come back, and God is going to let things go on like man is already doing, pretty much without any thought of God. However, there are certain things that will happen. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What's going to happen when Jesus comes back? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We'll begin reading down there in verse 16. For the Lord himself, there it is, this same Jesus, amen, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Amen. The dead in Christ, those are the saints that have been saved. Those are the ones that have passed on, like my father did a few months ago. Those are the saints of God, the men and women of God who trusted Jesus Christ, who were born again, who repented towards God and received Jesus Christ by faith. The number one thing that's going to happen with Jesus, the very first thing, is the saints of God will be resurrected. Amen? Yep. The dead in Christ shall rise. So that's the first thing that's going to happen. Now, there's going to be a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, but it's not going to take any time. It's going to be, amen, the twinkling of an eye. And it's the dead in Christ are going to rise up out of the ground. The second thing that's going to happen is the saved, those are still alive in verse 17, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Amen. There it is. That's what we don't have the word rapture in the Bible, but it's a catching up. It's a gathering up. Amen. Caught up together with them. Together, the Bible says, together with them in the clouds. I love that. Listen, I don't think, you know, some people say, well, it's going to take a while for all of them to arrive. I don't think that at all. I think it's going to be boom, 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 boom. It's just going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to be just like that. There's not going to be like several days where everybody's, you know, all the saints are resurrecting and the rest of us are waiting for our turn. It's just going to happen. I mean, they're going to come up out of the ground. We're going to come up off the ground. Amen. And we're going to be caught up together in the clouds with the Lord to be. I'm going to see my dad again. Amen. I'm going to see my grandma again. I'm going to see my grandpa again. Amen. I'm going to see my brother again. I'm talking about we're going to be caught up together.
Yes,
amen. The saints are going to be resurrected. Those that are saved are going to be raptured up, caught up together in the clouds.
Amen.
Amen. That's a good thing.
Yes, sir.
Those are the good things.
Yes, sir.
Now listen, what's going to happen after that?
Yeah.
Number three, not only will the saints be resurrected, not only will the saved be raptured, caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, will ever, by the way, don't miss verse 17, the last few words. So shall we ever,
amen,
be with the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Never to ever leave his presence again.
Amen.
Right. Wherever he goes, we'll be there. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Wherever he's at, we'll be there. Yeah. I'm talking to you as if you're saved this morning. Obviously, I'm assuming you're saved. Only God knows that. But I'm saying, those of us who are saved, we will ever be with the Lord. That means for all time, for all eternity, we will ever be with the Lord. Yeah. The saints will be resurrected. The saint will be raptured. But listen to me, then Satan's beast will appear. Go to 2 Thessalonians with me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. I'm going through this quick because I'm getting just to the end here. I want to spend some more time at the end. The Satan's beast will appear. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, there it is, gathering together, caught up together, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. That's Satan's beast.
That's right.
The son of perdition.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. We're talking about what commonly referred to as the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist has already gone out into the world. The spirit of Antichrist was in the world when Jesus was in the world. The spirit of Antichrist crucified Christ.
Yes, sir.
But understand something. We're talking about a very specific, listen now, person. Look what it says in verse 3. That man of, he's going to be a literal person. He's called the man of sin. He's called the son of perdition. Many think, I'm not sure on this yet, but Judas Iscariot was called the son of perdition. You remember he's the one that betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It's very possible that Judas Iscariot will be reincarnate as the Antichrist. He will be a Jew. I can't prove that, but it sure seems like that. That's the only other man that's called the son of perdition. However, he is a man. He's a two-legged, two-armed, two-eyed, two-eared, I guess, one mouth, amen. Man. He's going to be, but he's Satan's man. Think about this. The Bible calls him the man of sin.
Yeah.
Now, I don't even want to imagine what kind of man this is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But you and me have to understand that there's one word that defines his life, and that's sin.
Yeah.
That's all he is. Now, obviously, I'm going to go into this. If you come back tonight as the Lord leads, I'm going to spend some time preaching on this man of sin. I'm going to spend some time preaching on who this Antichrist is, what he's going to be doing. I just think we need to get more involved. And understand, we just had Easter a couple weeks ago. But this Easter, the reason that Jesus resurrected and went back to heaven is because he wants us to be ready for his soon return. Amen. But if we're going to be really ready, we got to understand what's going to happen, because things on this earth are going to change. However, we're the only ones that know about it. The Word of God tells us about it. The man of sin, Satan's beast, will appear on the scene. Now, understand something. Number 4, satanic prosperity will begin. Satan is going to give people everything that they want. He's going to, especially the Jews. He's going to, for 3.5 years now, there's going to be peace and prosperity on the earth among the Jews. You understand, even though the Jews have a nation since 1948, they went back to Israel, they have been bombarded constantly, day after day after day, by the Arabs. There's never been peace over there. But during 3.5 years of this, first 3.5 years of after Jesus comes back and we're all gone, this man of sin, Satan's man, is going to appear. And then satanic prosperity. See, he will give everyone exactly what they want. Look at verse 4 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now understand something, dearly beloved. How is he going to do that? How is he going to show himself that he is God? He's going to give people what they want. Okay? That's what most people think God is.
Yeah, come on, brother.
That's what most people think about God. God is just my how should I say this? My 911 call when I'm in trouble.
Uh-huh.
Or God is just my vending machine, amen, when I want something.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says he's going to show him, he's going to do things. Understand, he's going to have real power.
Amen.
Okay?
Yeah.
He's going to have real power, but it's not God's power.
Right.
He's going to have real power, but it's going to be Satan's power. That's why I call him Satan's beast, Satan's man. He's going to be a man just like me, amen, a man just like you. But he's going to have real power from the devil, and he's going to show himself to be God. He's going to do things that make people believe he's God. He's going to give them things and make promises and fulfill those promises, and everybody's going to be at awe, and listen to me, they're really going to believe that this is Jesus.
Yeah, come on, brother.
This is the real one we've been looking for. He's the one that we've been waiting for. Here's the Messiah. This is what's going to happen. Listen to me.
Hallelujah.
After Jesus is come and gone and we're all out of here,
sure. The
world's just going to keep on.
Uh-huh.
This man, however, is going to show up. And the Bible tells us he's going to sit in the temple of God in Jerusalem. That's where Jesus is going to sit during the 1,000 years.
Yes, sir.
So they're going to confuse this man for Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, you notice the Bible calls him God. Because Jesus is God. And this man's going to make himself out to be Jesus, be God. Even the Antichrist knows, hey man, there's about the Trinity. God forbid that you don't believe the Trinity, amen. It's a very important part of doctrine. But listen to me, Satan's beast is going to show up. Satanic prosperity is going to begin. Jews are going to have peace they've never had before. People are going to have wealth and things are going to happen to them that they've never... And he's going to deceive the entire world. Because remember, the truth is gone.
That's right.
Churches are still moving, though. Churches are still having services. And I don't know exactly how they're going to have services. I don't know if they're going to change things and start worshiping him. But the Bible says right here that he is going to be called God and he's going to be worshipped.
Yep.
Satanic prosperity is going to begin. But I want you to understand also, this is the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation. For the first 3.5 years, again, I'll get into more of this tonight, but the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, Matthew chapter 24, if you want to look over there with me real quick, Matthew 24, I'll show you a verse here. For the first 3.5 years, there's going to be peace on the earth, but it's going to be peace that's false. It's going to be peace that is given on purpose. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there shall be no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, that's Israel's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets." Understand something, folks. False prophets are preachers.
That's right. Come on, preacher, brother.
Yes. There's going to be preachers standing in pulpits not unlike this one.
Yes, sir.
God forbid that this one ever keep going. But the thing is, there's going to be false prophets, preachers, religion is going to continue.
That's right.
Activity, business, social, like I said, family reunions, a lot of things are just going to move on. Here's what's going to happen. The Antichrist, the beast, is going to come on the scene. He's going to appear after the rapture, and we don't know, but he's going to explain away the rapture. He's going to make everybody believe that it was aliens or... we don't know.
Sure.
The Bible doesn't tell us how, but he's going to have control over the whole earth and make himself God and give people what they want. And the Bible says he's going to deceive. There's going to be false prophets. There's going to be people preaching that he is the real Jesus. Churches are going to be... remember what happened after 9-1-1, 9-11? Churches filled up.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because everybody's wondering what's going on, this is the end of the world, etc. Well, that's what's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
But there's not going to be any more truth after the rapture. There's not going to be any more it's all going to be false doctrine. False prophets are preachers.
That's right.
They already are today, by the way. But there's going to be a world full of them. That's all. So Satan is going to come on the scene. And then the Bible says the great tribulation in verse 21 in Matthew 24. And so verse 24 says there, false Christ, false prophets shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive, the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Jesus is warning them, warning you and me, but he's telling us, listen, we don't have to worry about this. But isn't it amazing to you, it's amazing to you that people are going to fall for this when it's right here in the Bible. I'm talking about people that do not know the gospel, that have not heard the gospel. But people are going to fall for this, amen, that after Jesus already warned them. Understand something, dearly beloved. The Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He's going to explain away the rapture. He's going to begin to give people prosperity. He's going to begin to give people what they want. He's going to begin to give them and make them think that he's God. But this is the beginning of the great tribulation. 3.5 years into this thing, he turns on Israel. He turns against Israel. He becomes Israel's greatest enemy. You see, folks, this whole thing is about Israel, really. It's about God's chosen people. You and me are Gentiles. We are grafted into the true vine, amen. But we're not part of the true branches. We're Gentiles. This whole thing is about God and his people, Israel and the Jews. The Antichrist is going to come, and that's why many people believe that he's going to be a Jew himself. Just like Judas Iscariot. Because how else could he deceive the Jews so easily? He's one of them. But after 3.5 years, he's going to turn on them, and he's going to become their greatest enemy. And then listen, go with me to Revelation 13. Revelation 13 this morning. Revelation 13 beginning in verse... Well, let's read it. I don't want to read it all, but I can't. Amen. Let's read verse 11. Revelation 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. The dragon in the Bible is always Satan. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He's got real power. And this is what's going to be going on. In verse 14, he deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. I want you to notice something. The sixth thing that's going to happen is Satan's mark is going to be given out.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to deceive them into believing. I want you to notice, this is interesting in verse 16. The Bible says he causeth all. He doesn't force them. Many people think he's going to, you've seen the movies, right? You're going to be forced into this mark. No, the Bible doesn't say that. He's causing them to take this mark. How? Because he's deceiving them.
That's right.
They are believing that he's the Christ. Mm-hmm. They are believing that he is God. And he, through the Bible says that he deceiveth them by the power to do things in their sight. And so that power that they see, they're going to see things happening. And then, but listen, they're going to see things, the power, fire falling down from heaven. Hey, they're going to think, well, Elijah did that. Other prophets of God have done that. So he's going to be deceiving the masses. And that power that he has is going to deceive them. And when he says, okay, now you must take this mark in order to buy or sell. And they're just going to take it willingly.
Sure. Yeah, that's right.
He's not going to force them. He's going to cause them by his power and his the workings of the lines, signs and wonders. Be careful. That's why we don't go for signs and wonders today, because Satan's going to use those things. But it's going to be real easy to come into that charismatic Pentecostal church and deceive those people.
Sure.
Real easy, because they're all looking for signs and wonders.
Uh-huh.
That's why we don't look for signs and wonders. We live by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
Amen? But see, it's going to be real easy. It's going to be real easy for him to take those people, because they're already looking for signs and wonders already today. That's what drives them. And he's just going to easily take them. It says in verse 16, he causeth all, both small and great. That's young and old. There's going to be old people. There's going to be young people, rich and poor, free and bond, prison and out of prison. The whole world, folks, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Folks, this is going to make people, they're going to have to take that mark or they're not going to be able to eat. They're not going to be able to buy anything. They're not going to be able to have any business. And it's just going to be easy. They're just going to follow him like lambs to the slaughter.
Amen, brother. Preach it. Come on.
Now, saints will be resurrected. The saved will be raptured out of here. Satan's man of sin is going to appear. Satanic prosperity is going to begin. But this is really the 7 years of tribulation. And then his mark is going to come out, and he's going to cause people to take the mark. But I want you to understand something. In this time of great tribulation, following the 3.5 years, the 7 vials of wrath are going to be poured out. Look in Revelation 16 with me this morning. This is where I'm going to spend a little more time. See, God is doing all of this, amen, literally as judgment. It's judgment. It's judgment against sin. It's judgment against sinners rejecting Jesus. Revelation 16, verse 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the 7 angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. Now, folks, listen, this is where things really get ugly.
Yeah, come on. Thank you. Yeah.
And the first went, verse 2, and poured out his vial upon the earth. And there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast. See, they took that mark willingly, with no problems. Just blindly. Just like they were completely blinded, thinking that this man is the one I've been waiting for. But then they are the very ones that are going to receive and be judged by the wrath of God.
Right.
Look, it says here, a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which and upon them which worship the image. Folks, listen to me. This is men and women are not going to die from this sore. It's grievous. It's going to be a painful. We don't know if it's going to be some type of open boil or some type of it's disgusting. I understand that. But it's judgment. It's the wrath of God. Men and women are going to be walking around. No more prosperity. No more peace. No more fun. No more pleasure.
Yeah, come on. Preach it.
They're going to be miserable now.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says in verse 3, the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea. And it became as the blood of a dead man. Every living soul died in the sea. Everything in the sea. It doesn't say the water turns to blood, but everything dies in the sea, and it fills the water up with blood. Death in the sea. You understand, fish live in the sea, and a lot of things that we eat come from the sea, and all of it's going to die.
Yeah.
It's going to begin to cause famine and great hunger. And then verse 4, the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. Now literally, there's no more water. Not only the fish and everything in the water are going to die and fill up with blood, but whatever water's left is going to be turned literally into blood. I don't know about you, but I like drinking water. I drink a lot of water. Water's important. Water is very important to our bodies. It's for our health and our strength and our well-being. But during that time of judgment, the wrath of God is going to turn all the water on the earth to blood. You can't drink blood. See, everybody that's following along and just going, and by the way, blindly going, following this Antichrist, this man of sin, now they're facing the wrath of God.
Yep, come on.
The angel poured out his vial, and they became blood. Verse 5. I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shalt be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. Wow. See, folks, listen to me. God still gets glory in judgment. God is always right.
Amen. That's right.
God is always just. God is always righteous and holy. And anybody that gets judged is because they deserve it. Not because God didn't give them a chance. Not because God's a mean, but because they were unholy. And God has given them exactly what they deserved.
Yep.
Verse 7. I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. That's a good verse we need to remember. So there's the open sores, the grievous and noise, and that means they're just putrefying sores all over men's bodies. Everything in the water is sea is dying. All the water is turning to blood. Look in verse 8. The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. Notice, and they blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. What's going to happen is that people today, right, they lay out in the sun and they tan. And well, you know, they got tanning beds now where you lay in there for hours so you can get tan. But during the judgment time of the great tribulation, amen, God's going to turn that sun into scorching heat, and it's going to literally burn. See, it's not going to be hard to get men because they're already laying out in the sun anyway. They're already half naked out under the sun anyway, amen. And God's going to use their own sin to their shame, and it's going to scorch them with great heat. I don't know exactly. Again, all we know is that the sun, you understand the sun is nothing but a ball of fire to begin with. There's just multiple thousands and millions of explosions going on constantly on the sun. And that sun is going to either come closer to the earth or the atmosphere is going to be removed or something. But that sun is literally going to start burning men up alive. And they're going to blaspheme God. They're going to curse God. And it says they're not going to repent to give him glory. The fifth angel in verse 10, we're now the fifth, look what it says here, poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast. Now here's the beast, that's the seat of the Antichrist. That's his kingdom. That's over there in Jerusalem where he's sitting in the temple. His kingdom was full of, what's it say, darkness.
Yeah.
For they gnawed their tongues for pain. Verse 11, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. So you've got people still with sores over here.
Yeah.
Who have survived all of these other things somehow. And now when it gets to the darkness, the Bible says they're going to start gnawing on their tongue for pain. You understand, they haven't had anything to drink. So they're already parched. Their tongues are already dry as they could possibly be. The sun, they somehow escaped the burning. Maybe they got burned, but they're just not dead yet. Because remember, the Bible says the sun's going to scorch them and they're going to blaspheme God. So they're not going to die necessarily. Have you ever had a really bad sunburn?
Yeah.
It doesn't go away. And then, darkness. You know, it doesn't say that darkness is going to be in all the world. It says the darkness is going to be the kingdom of that beast.
Yeah.
His people. His subjects, the king's subjects, the kingdom of the beast, they're going to be the ones. Now their skin is burned. They've got these sores all over their body. Their tongue, they're gnawing on their tongue because they're so thirsty. And the darkness is painful. This is not a pretty picture, I understand. They blaspheme the God of heaven. From what I can tell, listen to me, dear beloved. From what I can tell, God, God is giving them an opportunity. They can't be saved after they receive the mark of the beast. But there's something in here that you and me have to look through and kind of see that they could have repented and given God glory. I don't know exactly how they would have, if they would have been able to receive forgiveness. I don't believe so because they took the mark. It's too late. But I believe what God is trying to get us to see is that these men are so filthy, vile, and wicked, and so evil that they know who's doing this. They know what they've done. But isn't it amazing how hard their heart is? They're burned alive. I mean, literally their skin is probably got boils on it from the sun. They've got these sores on them. They've got they can't get anything to drink. And now the darkness sets in and it's heavy on them. And all they can do is curse God. Blaspheme God. This is what's going to happen after Jesus comes. Look what it says in verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. What do you mean by that? What's going to happen now? This judgment is going to dry up the river that divides the eastern countries from Jerusalem. What's going to happen is those kings are going to gang up and come over and attack Jerusalem one more time, and God's going to allow them to do that. God's drying up the river so they can get across. And folks, listen to me. God is in control. We have a God who's in control of everything. Amen? That river was keeping them from coming and attacking, but now they're coming. God is setting the stage, dearly beloved. Look with me in verse 17 now. The seventh angel poured out his vial into the air. And there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, "It is done." There were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. A great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Every island fled away, the mountains were not found, and there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. That's 125 pounds. One hailstone, 125 pounds falling out of the sky. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail. The plague thereof was exceeding great. What's going on there is the Bible says that this is in verse 17 that the voice came out and there was a great voice out of the temple from the throne saying, "It is done." What is that? That's the final battle, amen, between God and the beast, the Antichrist. It's finished. God finishes up. He wraps it up. The final battle there. The enemies come. God destroys them all. And this is all part of God's judgment on the earth for the sin of mankind. Yeah. Seven vials of wrath are poured out. It is done. The hail is falling out of the sky the size of 125 pounds. One stone. And men are blaspheming God everywhere. The city of verse 19, the great city was divided into three parts. That's Rome. And the cities of the nations fell. The great Babylon came in remembrance before God. That's Rome. Amen. Listen to me. I don't have time to read chapter 17, but that's where Babylon falls. The mystery Babylon, the Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, the abomination. That's the Roman city of Rome. That's the Roman Catholicism that's still pushing and prevailing in all the world today. But understand something. All I'm trying to get you to see is that Jesus Christ is coming again, and you and me, those of us who are dead in Christ are going to rise first. Those of us who are alive and remaining will be raptured up together in the clouds, and then everything is going to really get bad, amen, on this earth. Amen. Everything is going to get really bad on this earth. This is nothing compared to what it's going to be. Yeah. What we see today, the things that we see going on today, God is not judging this world right now. God is allowing people, amen, to hear the gospel. and to be saved. God's grace is still available. You understand, once this judgment starts, God's grace is no longer available.
That's right, brother.
They've already received the mark. They've already taken the mark of the beast, and God's judgment is all they have to look forward to. But you and me, amen, because of God's grace, because of Jesus Christ, because of the gospel, amen, the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Savior, you and me who have trusted Jesus Christ, we have accepted that He was our only hope. We have humbled ourselves and allowed Him to save us. We've turned from our sin unto His salvation. His righteousness is now ours through Jesus Christ. We will not be a part of any of that. We will not have to see any of that. But listen to me tonight or this morning as I close the message. It's a great thing we're going to be gone. But we've got to tell more people about what's going to happen. They're not going to get saved during this time. You say, preacher, but the movies, forget the movies.
Amen.
Forget your movies. They're not going to get saved during this time. Now, there's going to be people, possibly they're going to come, I know there's going to be people come through the tribulation, survive all of that, and get into the millennial kingdom. I understand that. There's going to be lost people in that time too. I'm not preaching on that right now. But they're going to come through that 7 years and somehow survive and get into the, not with the mark, not with the mark of the beast, but get into the millennial kingdom. Lost people. And that's another message, but that's where the Bible says in the end of the world, there's going to be wheat and tares, remember? And they grow together in the kingdom. But at the end of the kingdom, amen, the wheat is going to be gathered into the barn. The tares are going to be thrown into the unquenchable fire. But folks, listen to me. After Jesus comes again, everything is going to get really bad. We've got to be aware, first of all, how good God is to give us His salvation from all of this. And secondly, we've got to understand, these people are not going to get saved. They're not going to get saved when the judgment of God falls. They're going to curse God. They're going to blaspheme God. They're going to rebel even more against God. We've got to be very, very diligent in warning them, hey, judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Tonight, by the grace of God, if God allows me, I will go over more about the Antichrist and how he's going to be able to deceive people more and more in detail. But I just want us to think about this morning. Who do you know that's not saved? You can't save them, I understand that. But many times we just don't think about what's going to happen after Jesus comes back. Jesus is going to come back. And things are going to be very ugly. People are going to be deceived by this Antichrist. We've got to tell them now. We've got to warn them now.
Yes,
let them know, hey, Jesus is your only hope.
Amen.
Jesus is your only salvation.
That's right.
Let's have a word of prayer. Father, Lord, I pray for your help. We all need to be more careful, Lord, to be diligent witnesses. Preach the gospel. Tell the world, hey, Jesus is coming back. And it's not going to be pretty after that. Lord, we don't want our family members, our friends, our loved ones to be left behind. Lord, it's not easy to tell people the truth about this kind of thing, but help us, Father, to be filled with your Holy Spirit. And like Jesus said, to have your power to be witnesses, to tell people what you've done for us. And to tell people, Lord, there's a judgment waiting if they reject Jesus. Lord, I know that many times, Father, people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about a God who judges. But Lord, help us to be faithful to your word. You are still a God who's true and holy and righteous in all of your judgments. And Father, you're not judging them now. You're giving them opportunity to escape that judgment through Jesus Christ and through grace. Lord, help us to be diligent. Forgive us, Lord, for the many times that we fail to open our mouths to give a gospel track. But we love you this morning, Lord. We know that Jesus is coming back. We look forward to that day. But God, we need your help. Please burden our hearts. Give us a greater desire, a greater burden for people's souls. Bless the invitation now, I pray, in Jesus' name. The piano is going to play softly this morning. Let's all stand together. The altars are open. Maybe there's just somebody that you'd like to pray for. Maybe there's somebody that the Lord laid on your heart that you'd like to pray for this morning. Don't be ashamed to come to the altar. Say, Lord, help me to know what to say to this person, to that person. Help me to know what to say to them next time I see them. The altars are open. Don't be ashamed to come and pray for somebody. Maybe there's somebody that you know that is not saved, that doesn't believe this. It's not going to be pretty. But we have an opportunity before the day, before Jesus comes, we have an opportunity to tell them about the Lord. As she plays this morning, well, is there somebody on your heart that you want to pray for? Don't be ashamed. Just go ahead and bow your knee and humble yourself and say, God, help me. Help me to know what to say. Help them to listen. Open their hearts, God, to the truth. As she plays.